So did the gentleman leave his displays here? He did.
That's not very together.
Well, actually,
they're very nice.
Yeah. Okay. Well, wait till Steph gets it together.
Usually anything you submit stays with the hand.
You know. Oh, okay. So he gave it to you.
Yeah, apparently he knows the rules, but we were going to give them back to him. They're still very nice.
Okay, we'll go ahead and reconvene the hearing and start with our speakers. These are in favor, Tom Story, Judd Helenza, or Todd, maybe, I'm not sure, John Bragg, and Tatiana Southard, who wants to register a position in support but does not wish to speak and has the nicest printing I've ever seen in my life. Okay. Tom.
You've never seen my letter.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Tom Story. I'm here in two capacities today, and I wanted to be clear that I can speak with two different hats.
As long as you give your address.
All right. I know. You want to know where everybody lives.
Well, I don't want to know, but if the public wants to hear who was there, okay. They do later.
Okay. Well, 4444 Eastgate Mall, San Diego, 92121. So let me explain. I serve as the chair of the East Otay Mesa Property Owners Association, but I'm also here to represent the interests of Sun Road Enterprises, which is one of the large property owners in East Otay Mesa. So with your indulgence, first I'll give the position of the POA, and if you like, then I can express my position as a Sun Road representative. You have a letter in your packet that includes the comments. But before I go, I wanted to first of all thank Rosemary and Daniela for doing a phenomenal job. The East Otay Mesa Property Owners Group is like herding cats, as I like to say. We all have our own ideas, but Rosemary was a true professional in working with us throughout this process. As you can see from our comment letter, we provided 83 comments. We agreed on some issues. There were corrections on some issues. We agreed to not agree on other issues. But through that whole process, I think every member of the POA was thoroughly impressed by how engaged and constructive our dialogue was with staff. You have a letter dated July 13th, which basically acknowledges our general support for the proposed amendments. With four outstanding issues. Rosemary has covered them very well in her presentation. Our position is that if any of those issues can be addressed today without further review or delay, we would support that if that's an option. If they are not, we recommend and strongly encourage the commission to take action today with the expectation that in the future we'll have other opportunities to address these other issues. So that's our position as the POA. As a representative for Sun Road, I would like to say very specifically that we support staff recommendation as presented to you today. And we would urge your adoption of the recommendation. And obviously there are, Sun Road has specific benefits and interests associated with the amendments. We don't see them benefiting by any further delay to resolve these other issues. So again, as a Sun Road representative, we encourage you to act today in favor of the staff recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Judd Helenza, 650 15th Street, Del Mar, California, 92014. Chairman Beck, members of the Planning Commission, speaking as an individual, I'm also a member of the East Otay Mesa Property Owners Association. I think that Mr. Story represented our position eloquently, and so basically what I'd just like to do is also reiterate the thanks to Rosemary Rowan and Daniela Rosenberg for a hard job well done, and I would encourage you to pass this as is if there isn't any other action that you can take on the other items that are recommended to you. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. It's nice to get the staff acknowledgments. Next speaker.
John Bragg with Kearney Real Estate Company, 655 West Broadway, San Diego, 92101. I also am here in two capacities. I'm the chairperson for the Infrastructure Committee, and I'm also a property owner in East Otay Mesa. I think Tom and Judd said it well. As the chairperson for the Infrastructure Committee, we interfaced with Rosemary and Daniela frequently in the process, and I certainly would like to thank them for, you know, an extraordinary effort and an excellent result. We have our letter, as Tom indicated, on the items that are outstanding. Secondly, as a property owner, I do want to support the amendment at this time, and I would hope and request that you approve the amendment to go forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker is an opposition slip, Peggy McCarberg.
Good morning, Commissioners. Peggy McCarberg, 2481 Congress Street, San Diego. I'd like to make clear first that I'm here representing National Enterprise and Incorporated, and I wanted to clarify first, we put in an opposition slip, but on the few issues that we have. In general, it's a good document. We don't oppose it. We do like many parts of it, but there are several issues that are still outstanding. And as the speakers before stated, I mean, we congratulate staff. This is a tough uphill battle, and it's been a long time, and they've done a fantastic job thus far. One of the issues that we are concerned about is the landfill buffer overlay that's going to be placed on property that is adjacent to the landfill itself. Our client does own quite a bit of that property and other property down in the East Otay Mesa area. Our concern is that this action at this time is extremely premature. There's no site plan yet that's been developed or accepted. There are no CEQA's actions have happened. There's been no environmental review yet. You know, this was just passed, the landfill was, by the voters in June. And so until we work through those issues and actually identify impacts, we believe this is premature. And anticipating them with no basis, essentially, for it, just for an outstanding concern that some future impact might occur, doesn't appear to be legally a rational basis for it. So that's a big issue for our client. Secondly, with the district commercial lodging restrictions, our client also questions the need to have the major use permit for a hotel that has in excess of 100 rooms. We haven't heard any rationale for it. It's a limitation that may be addressing a problem that doesn't exist, because when we bring in, or if someone brings in a hotel, clearly there's going to be CEQA analysis at that point also. And maybe they will identify impacts, and maybe it won't. So setting up that restriction for a major use permit in advance is also premature. And the last issue we have is the slope height restrictions that have been added to the document. The problem with those that we see is that many of them have absolutely no leeway whatsoever. They're completely restricted. Here's the height, stick with it or otherwise. Our client has concerns on particular issues. Again, until we identify an impact or a problem with the height, or identify through CEQA that there's a way to mitigate that height, or there's a good reason for height, such as a gravity sewer plan that requires a certain type of height and a certain level, we believe it's premature to put that in place. No leeway, just a hard and fast rule. We believe it's much more important to have that on a project-by-project basis. And then if the impacts arise, we'll address them at that point.
Thank you. Commissioner Brooks has a question for you.
these comments are very enlightening. Staff, would you comment on these comments, please? Especially in the first one, in fact, having to do with the buffer. There, as I understand,
have any questions
once
for the speaker?
I think she might need to respond. Thank you. The CEQA, once something is planned, we'll go more in depth on this. Is that true? It's not something that's just accepted in face value as it's presented. Is that correct?
Commissioner Brooks, if you'd like, I could go through the three issues that she...
I would like, yes.
Commissioner Brooks, through the chair. First of all, the first issue she mentioned was the landfill buffer overlay. And the position that she expressed was also expressed by the property owner's letter. And their position basically is that it's premature for staff to establish a buffer at this time. We've been advised by council that it's not premature, that in fact the county does need to establish a buffer at this time. And so what we've done is to put together regulations that give the department flexibility in the future when the landfill is further defined to waive any additional permitting requirements. And again, I'd like to mention that the same landowner who owns this land also owns the landfill and initiated and sponsored the initiative. So our position is really similar to council's position, which is that this is not premature.
Before you go on, could I interject a question? Maybe Commissioner Reese has one as well on this particular topic. So why isn't the buffer on the landfill side?
The buffer could be on the landfill site and may be in the future, but the county has no control over that per the initiative. So if the landowner wishes to establish an easement or some other type of controls that establishes a buffer on the landfill site, they certainly may do that.
But they would never do that.
Well, we can't predict. The issue by council is simply that we have to use the information that we have today.
Gotcha. Commissioner Reese?
Yes. Thank you, Ms. Elder. I got a couple of questions for you.
Yes.
But I want to.
I'm sorry.
Is this on the buffer issue?
This is on the buffer issue.
Okay.
Yes, she's raised the issue of the buffer. And the way you were outlining the argument here, it sounds to me like you made a good case for a moratorium rather than an imposition of this. Would you rather have the moratorium? Because we want to stop everything until we get all the facts in line, and then we can impose the regulations.
We'd never suggest a moratorium.
Well, then
that's a significant
the
issue. Well, the issue, one of the issues, and I failed to mention it when I was first speaking, is that the landfill site has 110 acres that are going to be undeveloped, and they're going to be positioned once the site plan is in place to actually act as a buffer for those adjacent properties. Because frankly, even though our client owns a lot of the property that will be subject to the suggested buffer, he may not own it forever. But we're saying, you know, we don't want a moratorium on the buffer outside. We don't want the buffer at all, frankly, because we do believe it's premature. If CEQA identifies after our site plan's in and after all of the buffer has been established, how the 110 acres is being used, if there's a problem then, an impact, that's when it happens. But we don't know that yet. We don't have any facts that relate to that position.
Okay. And the legal interpretation on county council side is different than that. So we'll go back to Commissioner Brooks' questions and the second issue.
The second issue is the district commercial issue. This issue, just a reminder to the commission, the current regulations do allow lodging by right as long as the size of the lodging is 100 rooms or less. The current regulations also allow lodging over 100 rooms, but you have to process a major use permit. We believe the department's position is that those regulations are appropriate and adequate. And in addition to that, the request is outside the scope of this amendment, because for the department to even review this proposal or to process a CEQA document associated with this proposal would require some additional traffic and other studies. The third issue is the issue of slope, which was not identified in the property owner's letter. This is an issue that we haven't discussed with the commission yet. Currently, the Subarea 2 plan, which, to remind you, is the original specific plan, has slope limitations of 15 feet between adjacent building pads. The 1994 EIR was based on that particular policy in the plan. We are And essentially what we're doing is we're retaining that policy, but we're proposing to liberalize it. We believe that it would be appropriate to raise that up to 20 feet without additional CEQA studies, so that you would be allowed to have a 20-foot difference between adjacent building pads, where the proposed amendment would also allow a distance of up to 30 feet with a visual study. So what is the complaint by, I believe, by the person who is speaking today is that they would like to have no restrictions on the slope limitations or the, I'm sorry, the difference between elevations on building pads. We've discussed this with the Property Owners Association, and because the association was happy with the proposal made by staff, this issue did not go into their letter.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, that closes public testimony, and we'll go to questions. Commissioner Norby?
Just some comments. I appreciate all the speakers and their advocacy. You know, my general thought is that good planning by its nature is premature. If it's mature and site plans are being processed and everything is happening and planning hasn't happened, and what we have is an initiative that has passed, and that initiative did not spell out any buffers, did not spell out any things that would protect the community. That is a known fact that that's going to happen, and I think it's prudent and good planning to put this buffer on. So my question to you is that should a buffer be included in the landfill site, how easy is it to remove this buffer?
Commissioner Norby, through the chair, removing the buffer would require a specific plan amendment, which is why we included language in the regulations within the specific plan that give the department the authority to waive any use permit requirements as soon as should a buffer be established within the landfill site. So the plan then would be to simply remove the buffer at an appropriate time, for instance, the next time we're processing another specific plan amendment, and then on an interim basis use that language to effectively waive the use permit requirement.
Okay, thank you. And then I want to talk about the metal buildings a little bit, and I understand the concept within this specific plan that you've got some industry and you've got some heavy industry and metal buildings are appropriate there, and then you've got some commercial, and you'd like to keep them out because you want to see a little higher design quality, if you will, or aesthetic in the area. But I can tell you in my career and what I do, some of the most beautiful buildings are Butler buildings. I mean, I'm thinking of the Cedros Design District with old barracks from Camp Pendleton that were Leaping Lotus. We have a project right now that is 45 units on an acre, and we've required them to preserve and rebuild an old metal tin shed building because it's part of our community character. In cities up in Orange County, we're repurposing packing sheds that are very, very inexpensive, in some case metal buildings, into shopping districts and live, work, loft, artif loft. So I think a metal building, in some cases, and in a lot of cases, is a very efficient, effective, inexpensive, and different experience that can work. And so I'm wondering if, and I've just described a few of them that I think most of us are pretty familiar with, if a de-designator or some design overlay could be on that to make sure that we're paying attention to that, rather than a prohibition of those metal buildings, wouldn't be more appropriate.
Commissioner Norby, through the chair, the specific plan has a site plan requirement. So all projects are reviewed for design to comply with design issues. But the problem here is that this current specific plan prohibits all metal buildings. And the design requirements that are identified in the specific plan don't address metal, which probably needs some additional new design guidelines or requirements. Because while some metal buildings can be wonderful, other metal buildings are not.
Sure.
And so our position, the department doesn't oppose all metal buildings. We are simply saying that the request was outside the scope of the amendment that we were processing today, or hoping to process. And that's for two reasons. One is that we believe we would need additional design guidelines in the specific plan to cover this issue. And secondly, we would need to do additional analysis with respect to visual impacts.
So it's an issue of you're not quite prepared to open it up that far due to staff constraints and further analysis that needs to be done in rewriting more of the general plan. It's really a scoping issue as opposed to a compatibility issue.
That is correct.
Yeah, thank you.
Commissioner Reese.
Would you entertain a set of solicitations from the representations from the property owners of the buffer lands as a suggested series of metal buildings that might theoretically be part of the amendments to the plan? So that concept, design concepts could be incorporated into your, in the future sometime? Would you could?
Yes, we certainly would, Commissioner Reese.
I have concerns about metal buildings. Unfortunately, I've dealt with some really ugly metal buildings. And one of them, of course, belonged to my client. What do you do to restore a Quonset? No, he's still my client.
Yeah, not after today.
No. He knows it's ugly. Okay. But we had to rebuild it because it was a pre-existing non-conforming use. And so we now have a really ugly Quonset hut completely encased in corrugated metal. Anyway, I don't like the idea of steel buildings.
Okay. Do you have anything, Commissioner Brooks?
No.
Okay. I would, as I previewed, I'd like to understand the implications of what's in front of us today, the landfill initiative, the major amendment area for the MSCP, and how those are going to influence or not influence landfill decisions because it was an initiative. For maybe I can pose a specific question, and in answering it, you can get into this a little bit. So the landfill is going to propose impacts. There's for people, if people aren't aware, is a very biologically sensitive area that's proposed for the landfill. There's a half a dozen covered species under the MSCP, and probably four or five federally and state listed species. So it's a battle that's pending, I suppose. And the whole notion behind the county's participation in the MSCP is to take those federally listed species and covered species and move them through a process that makes sense so that the entire region can get covered and people can facilitate development in a reasonable way. But this situation is like getting hit by an asteroid. And so I'd like to understand how, if at all, the county's existing NCCP world is going to interface with the landfill and how that might spill over to the subarea plan or to the specific plan.
Mr. Chairman, just want to make it clear to begin with, and I think you're aware of it, but I just want to make it clear, the issue of the landfill, with the exception of the buffer issue, is not in front of the commission today.
Of course.
And as a result of the ballot measure, the counties, from a land use perspective, will have very little influence or involvement in the approval or of any future landfill on that property. But that being said, this area is within the MSCP. It is a major amendment area. Our agreement that we have with the state and federal government does obligate them to give due consideration to our plan when they are approving permits. There will be a state-level permitting requirement on this landfill that Fish and Game will have to weigh in on. There will also be potentially federal-level issues, certainly with endangered species, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will have to weigh in on that. So there is an obligation on the part of those agencies to effectively not bust our plan and, to the extent possible, be consistent with our plan. And I would just add one last caveat. You know, this is a major amendment area, which is a bit unique. It really is like an area within our plan that hasn't been planned yet. But there are key policies and goals within the MSCP framework that those agencies will have to abide by. So I guess what I'm telling you is, to the extent that MSCP is applied here, it will be applied through other agencies.
Okay. And with regard to this slope issue, I certainly support staff rationale for this. And I was I was just wondering, just kind of at a technical CEQA level, you know, the original document in the 94 document, which made findings based on certain standards in the plan, including the slope requirement. So you determined that an additional 25% was de minimis or was consistent with? Is that kind of the thinking behind it?
Chairman Beck, that's correct. It's in the 15162 findings that are in the staff report.
Okay. All right. I'm done.
I move we approve staff recommendation.
Second.
Any further discussion?
With the errata sheet?
With the errata sheet, yes.
Okay.
I'd also like to have it open so that they have the opportunity to submit additional documentation with respect to the potential changes. But that doesn't be part of the motion, but just part of the consideration.
Okay. I'd just like to acknowledge again all the nice comments about staff from people who disagree with staff on four issues. So that's pretty cool. Okay, please vote. That motion passes unanimously with Woods, Pallinger, and Day absent. Okay, are we done?
We just have one administrative item, Mr. Chairman. On August 4th, the board will be considering an item that you had substantial input. On August 4th, we'll be taking forth a GPA batch, which includes the tiered winery zoning ordinance amendment, the density bonus ordinance, and Montecito Ranch GPA. And if your commission wished to designate one of your members to represent the commission at that hearing, I would recommend you do so.
Well, now. I'd like to submit a Woods with backup, Pallinger and Day.
Well, actually, I think Brian actually wanted to represent the commission. Cheryl, isn't that right? Didn't he send me an email to that effect or through Cheryl? Okay. So
that's right.
So it'll be Woods and Pallinger and Day.
Thank you.
Okay, is that we're done?
Yes, we're done.
Okay, and what day is the Accreta PAA?
It's which 2 weeks.
That'll be in 2 weeks, August 6th.
August 6th. Okay. All right, and I'll be recusing myself, so that'll be your baby.
Staff, again, a job well done.
We're adjourned.
Thank you very much.